Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Monell, Julie Hayden. True Straight Up brought to you by...
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and Dr. Jack Schaefer, who cannot recommend higher, and Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Also, I should say by HappyTrees.co, although they're taking the winter off. So he said, hey, you don't have to worry about it because we can't take any calls now anyway. I'm like, we need to take the winter off.
Yeah, winter off.
Hey, so that's what Joe Biden is doing. Hey, at 3:30, we're going to have Dr. Brian Jundep on. He's got a great column up in American Thinker talking about the red wave that's coming. And I think he's kind of like you. Brian is not what I would call a Pollyanna type of a person at all. And if he is being optimistic and Chuck's being optimistic, a lot of reasons. So we'll talk about all of that then. But one funny thing today, that the Twitter world and the censorship world is definitely changing under Elon Musk. A couple of things, you know, the way it works now is Twitter really censors you, and to get a blue check, which means put your tweets and everything, they give them a higher profile and all of that. You had to be somebody special. You had to be an elite liberal, like, oh, AOC or somebody like that. And Elon Musk says he's going to get rid of all of that because he actually wants Twitter to make money and he's going to start charging people just $8. And if you pay the $8, then you can be blue checked. Sort of like, you know, subscriber, right? And they're freaking out about that. They're like, well, how will we know who's reliable? Like, that's a joke. How will we know that they're reliable? But what's interesting is the Biden administration today, the White House, put out a tweet that said seniors are getting their largest Social Security increase ever under President Biden's leadership. And the Twitter people fact checked it and said, well, actually, that's not true. They're getting the biggest increase because it's the cost of living.
Then
I said, but actually, it is true because under Joe Biden's leadership,
inflation
has gone up highest, you know, in decades and in generations, actually. And so to a certain extent, Biden does get the credit for that.
Well,
I guess.
I don't think you do the verb credit.
But they deleted the tweet. So, but I think that we could talk about that a little bit with Brian Jundep. I mean, the Dems, all these stories are coming out about they're trying to switch their strategy. The president is going to hold another dark Brandon, as they call it, speech tonight, right? He's going to blame Republicans for, you know, the threat of democracy, which is stupid. I mean, that didn't go over very well last time.
No,
you know,
they don't succeed at first. Try again.
Yeah. So they're going to try that again. But in the meantime, though, the censorship, I know we're suddenly adding followers.
Yay.
Right. And I think the reason that that's important, because I know a lot of people don't really like look at Twitter all the time, but I think Twitter has had, and I think it's going to be impacted a little bit, the ability to sort of push narratives and to censor narratives.
Journalists follow Twitter. That's
right.
Right. I mean, that's the whole reason.
Well, journalists, like,
yeah,
what that means anymore.
But yeah.
But here's some of the stuff you want to talk about. I wrote a list of some of the stuff that has previously been censored. Okay.
Well, we also, you know, found out because of the lawsuit that was brought by the attorney generals of Missouri and other places against, I guess it was against Twitter, that in fact, there has been these secret meetings between Twitter, Facebook, and the Department of Homeland Security.
Google,
and everyone else, and to make sure that misinformation wasn't spread. And what is deemed misinformation in the last year? Well, that's what your list is.
I mean, bottom line, what misinformation was, whatever they said it was, whether being true or accurate had nothing to do with anything. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they've switched to disinformation, because misinformation would imply disinformation just means to stuff you don't. OK, so they suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story, which turned out to be true. Initially, they suppressed you for saying wear a mask because Fauci didn't want us to wear a mask. Then you were suppressed and censored for saying don't wear a mask.
Right.
The vaccine effectiveness, any kind of question on that?
Or the care where it originated from, if it originated from Wuhan.
That's right. Another thing that was any kind of questioning of the school lockdowns. was, you know, and as of course, now we've seen the test scores that come out, and pretty much universally, everybody agrees that the lockdowns did way more harm to kids than COVID ever would have. The war in Ukraine, not allowed to question that.
No.
Some of the initially when it came out, you know, you were seeing stuff from both sides because it was really hard to tell what was going on. And it was like reading two completely separate wars. Right. But now you only get the one side. Anything to do with the 2020 election that questioned it in any way, shape or form. The general
or the vaccine for kids, well, that's a good idea.
Oh, right. Well, that's just, January 6th.
Anything
to do with that? And
not anything to do, as long as you have the prescribed thing that it was a threat to our democracy. If you kind of went, that's ridiculous, and then you were shadow banned or banned.
Exactly. And then another thing too that really will get you banned, although that's all changing too, is any kind of comment in any kind of critical way about transgender stuff. I mean, even the libs of TikTok, if she even posts actual pictures of stuff there, they ban her for that. So it's not even that you're spreading it, you're just showing their stuff, right? And then you can get banned.
Well, we got banned from YouTube for quoting the governor of Colorado because it concerned children and vaccines. So they go, oh no, you got to be banned for that.
That's right. And this is from Leo. This is true. Dis is information. There you go. That's the truth there. But I think, and I want to say, actually, you know what? Brian isn't on till 3:30. So feel free to comment. We'll read the comments. We always get such great comments. If you want to comment yourself and just unmute yourself, you can raise your hand or just go ahead and unmute yourself or call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. But I think, you know, Tucker Carlson had a great thing, and we've talked about this before. The left has to control the narrative because the facts don't work.
Right.
You've seen, and people are realizing that there was a poll that showed like, you know, like almost like a 20% swing suburban white women, right? Where before they were like, you know, 50 points Republican or Democrat. Now it's completely the other way. You know, they're voting. And that's a lot of that has to do with, you know, they keep trying to tell us that a man is a woman is a man. And people are like, no, you're not. They keep trying to tell us that, you know, it's okay to perform mutilations on children and without their parents' knowledge or approval. And that's okay. I mean, they keep trying to tell us that it's okay for schools to be locked down because it's safe for the teachers and that's okay. And I think people are waking up and the censorship clearly isn't working. I mean, they've tried their hardest.
You know, they need to because they basically gaslight everything. And the Biden administration, you just gave an example where he got us the best Social Security increase ever. You got us the worst inflation ever, which caused that from Afghanistan. You know, the withdrawal was just working perfectly.
They blow up an Afghan family.
Inflation's transitory. No, it's not transitory. It's gone away. It's at one high, huge level constantly, which is great for all they do is lie. I mean, Joe Biden, you know, my son died in Iraq. No, he didn't, Joe. We've told you 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But everything they say is a gaslight. Everything they want to spin. Everything is spin. And when everything is spin, then nobody believes you on anything, which is, I think, one of the reasons you have a red wave. Because, okay, Joe Biden's going to talk about disinformation or misinformation or whatever he's going to do. And the threat to our democracy. And it's all a joke. We all know it's a joke. He's a joke. And so Fetterman's a joke. And so is the Democratic gubernatorial candidate in Arizona is a joke who won't debate anybody. And the Democratic candidate in New Hampshire is a joke because she won't debate anybody. I mean, you got all these pathetic Democrats who really don't want to debate because they have nothing to say.
Right.
And they don't want to be caught with their usual disinformation.
The abortion step isn't working, right? Because one of the things that happened is, and the polling again, so they just go way too far. But keep in mind, they know that, right? And we can get into that a little bit. And that's why the mis and disinformation, whatever, the censorship is so crucial to them. They know that they're lying to us. They're not stupid. They know, so they push the abortion thing, right? And even though the polls show something like 72% of the people do not support abortion on demand up until birth, right? Mm-hmm. The majority of the people support some kind of limit or restriction, usually like around 15, 16 weeks, right? And the Democrats, though, have been forced to say, no, when you have, Heidi Ginnall saying, whatever the voters of Colorado want, the Democrats are forced to say, no, abortion on demand up until birth. Right. And so they're, you know, and same thing, you question drag queen sexualized shows in front of toddlers and in schools and in libraries. And all of a sudden they say, no, that's okay. That's okay. And everyone's like, no, that's not okay. And I see Charlene wants to weigh in. Hey, Charlene, go ahead. And there you go.
Oh yeah. I say it's like a huge, psyop. It's like a huge gaslit. We're gaslit about everything.
Yes.
But I just want to ask you what you think about Elon Musk appointing this board, and they're supposed to be, you know, bipartisan, but it's all liberals. And the only conservative, so-called, they got in there is someone from the Bush Center. And then he made a comment. He said, well, you know, I'm doing the right thing when everybody's mad at me, conservatives and liberals.
I saw that. So
maybe he just did that, you know, to show that he wasn't being too pro-conservative. I mean, you know, maybe it's just, he's just doing a, you know, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, I have two thoughts on that, Shirley, and you must run my mind because I was thinking about that. And I think we have to remind ourselves that Elon Musk is not necessarily on our side, right?
No.
Elon Musk, and I think Twitter is going to significantly change. He wants to turn it into a universal app. It's going to be very different by the time he's done with it. And he wants to make money off of it, and I'm sure he will. So I think while he's for free speech and we're for free speech, and I had a kind of a similar thought too. I wonder if he just did that in a little bit to show, hey, look, I'm listening to all sides.
To calm the clamor of
exactly.
The liberal.
But I think most importantly, we got to remember, Charlene, we have to save ourselves, right? No one is going to save us.
Exactly.
We got to save. I mean, Elon Musk is great and he's helpful, right? Uh-huh. But and at least what he's doing so far has been helpful. But there are no guarantees. What did the Justice Department says now they're going to investigate him and all of that. So
yeah. Well, I tell you what is really spooky. I saw this video of Obama talking to a Democrat crowd, and there was a chant in the back, you know, F Joe Biden.
Right.
And so then I thought, that is so funny. He said, hey, all y'all up there, now listen up. Let me comment on that. Mm-hmm. And he looked up at the crowd as though he were talking to the chanters, you know. And so then I tried to post it on Facebook, and then I got a message that said false information. And then But here's what was really spooky. It said in the content, that was an edited video, and this is the real video. And then it had, instead of if Joe Biden, it had something like, let's go Biden. No, it had something else pro. They had dubbed the video, you know, from the original video. And then I thought, no, which one is real? And then they did not take the part out, though, where Obama said, now, all y'all up there, you know, they were telling us it was a single heckler. It wasn't a crowd. It was a single heckler. And I thought, well, why would Obama say, all y'all up there, listen up, you know, if it was a single heckler? So they forgot to leave that part out. And that was the only thing that could validate that Facebook's video was edited and the other one was the original. So it's
Facebook is horrible, right? I mean, they openly acknowledge they do that in YouTube. But here's a point to take away. Again, you know, you can learn it because you're right. Sometimes it's hard to say, well, which is which? But here's the underlying thing you want to ask yourself. Why is President Obama out there and Joe Biden is hiding in the basement again, right? I mean, that's one thing you can take away.
And the headline was the heavy hitter had to come out and he got booed, you know, he came out for Biden and he got booed. And so Facebook doesn't want people knowing that he's getting booed and they don't want to know how big the support is for, you know, the conservatives. So they just docked up a video. And then I'm like thinking, So, I mean, really Facebook is, it's gaslit. 100%. So,
I mean, anytime I try to post, we constantly are getting it, right? When getting put in Facebook jail. And what they do is that's really evil is they throttle it. Now, some of that they do because they want us to pay to boost it. But I know when we first started doing the show, doing the podcast, you know, 2.5 years ago now, we would have on Facebook 3,000-5,000 people, right? Now, sometimes Facebook puts it on like maybe 40 feeds. Do you know what I mean? And it's so,
And they have reached in and targeted even, you know, people that aren't really big name. I mean, I'm not saying big names. I mean, you are to me, let me tell you. But what I'm saying, they can just target and pinpoint. And that's the really spooky thing, because they have the algorithms to do it.
That's right.
And so, anyway, right. We got to rely on each other and get back to one-to-one communication. And my dad used to say, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see.
That's right.
And after seeing that video, I thought, boy, was he right.
Exactly. No, and you're right. And you can't. But again, the underlying thing is people are unhappy. Otherwise, Obama wouldn't be out there, right? Otherwise, it would have been Joe Biden talking. And the fact that people would believe that there was heckling going on, because there has been heckling going on. And the fact that you have questions about it, because we've heard with our own ears live, heckling going on, and then the reporter lying about it, saying, oh, they're saying, let's go, Brandon. So,
yeah, and they just want you to think it's one lone heckler. And then Obama himself contradicts that when he said, all y'all up there, listen up. You know, he's not talking.
Well, Jim Jackson says that you all is singular and all you all is plural. So, all you all means.
Well, in the North, it's you guys, and in the South, it's all y'all, if you're referring to more than two people. So,
yeah. Anyway. All right, well, shall
okay,
we? Thanks.
Thank you, that's all.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, one thing, Chuck, you're a lawyer, and here's what you can do, just, I think, a helpful hint. You know, when you have in jury trials, right, in criminal cases, mostly what I covered, a lot of times you would have different witnesses saying different things. And at which point the judge, the instruction would be, okay, so take a whole bunch of things into account. Take into account what everybody's motive might be in saying one thing or another. Take into account what other evidences that might support one side or the other. And then take into account your own personal experience in life. And I'm going to go to the Paul Pelosi thing, right? Talk about censorship and things like that, because now we're all going to be domestic terrorists for questioning that. And Biden's going to try to make a big deal about that in a speech. But I'm sorry, there are still some things that raise questions about it. And when I come down to, are they hiding something? I tend to lean toward they are, because these are questions that could be answered by releasing the entire 911 call, releasing the body cam video, right? I mean, what Molly Hemingway was tweeting the other day, that her sources in the San Francisco Police Department say they don't know who opened the door. Well, I like Molly Hemingway, but that's just a lie, right? The San Francisco police absolutely know who opened the door, right? I mean, at
least there's that old saying that if you have nothing to hide, you don't spend your time hiding it.
Right.
You have nothing to hide, you don't spend your time hiding it. And that's true. They're hiding. What if there's nothing to hide, then why are they hiding?
I mean, again, and common sense says, okay, they've, like I said, you know, so you read the FBI affidavits, you got to ask yourself, well, do we have any evidence anywhere else that the FBI would lie in an affidavit? Yes, we do. The whole, you know,
FISA application,
the whole Hunter. And would they bury something in an affidavit and bury a case that they didn't want? Yes, they would. The Hunter Biden laptop thing. So we know the FBI would lie. So you're like, you know, should I believe the affidavit or should I, you know, believe my own eyes? Kind of thing. So it's that kind of thing, like a judge says. I mean, but I think sadly, you know, we're going to have to do our own work. Like Charlene said, we got to look out for each other and we have to do our own work, because it is so hard to know anymore what's the truth and what's not the truth. And the fact is they have powerful ability to censor and to keep from us what they don't want us to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, well, here, this is interesting. Jacob, Facebook closed at a 52-week low today. yeah. And like Leo says, like this Pelosi's can't afford Simply Safe or something. That's right. They need to get Paul one of those little watches. So if he falls in the bathtub,
like I guess attacked by a crazed Berkeley hippie.
Yeah. Dr. Donna says, if it was close or on Halloween, did a ghost open the door? Mm-hmm. Well, and here's my thing, when you go to, is there something fishy there? And I don't know what the fishy would be. Okay. But it seems to me that they absolutely know who opened the door. They absolutely know how he got in. I mean, the Capitol Hill police, and I find this hard to believe, maybe not though, the Capitol Hill police said, oh yeah, we got it all on tape, but we just weren't watching at the time. And I'm like, well, that's, why not? You know, it seems like maybe you need a better security system. And I don't know. But the thing is the more that they don't answer those questions, and then what they do is, rather than answer the question, as Tucker Carlson said, they try to silence you and label you as a terrorist for asking the question in the first place. I mean, that's what this whole country is about, right? Is being able to at least ask the question. And suddenly it used to be that way. And all of a sudden now you're not even allowed to ask the question. I mean, they're going to lie about the answer, but to stop you from even asking the question, because there are too many people asking questions now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like with the whole COVID thing, I was reading a thing that was talking about the number of stillbirths that have occurred has skyrocketed. And we still have all of these, they call them unexplained massive increase in deaths. I mean, every day you turn around and some healthy young person has died of a heart attack. No articles does anyone say whether the person was vaccinated or not, right? It's kind of like, well, that's, should we be looking into that? It just seems to me, right?
It's amazing. It's just amazing. But and now we've got 6 days to the election, and it's going to get more amazing. Tonight, Joe will be in full denial, full gaslighting, except everybody will know it. And so I don't know how he expects that it's going to rally everybody around, rally around the gaslight, everybody, defeat the Trumpers.
Well, and I think, but I mean, in the meantime, you've got the Feds raise the interest rate again today.
Yeah, so that's 0.75.
So that's going to be great. You have the Washington Post openly saying that Biden and Harris should not run. And they're kind of openly talking anymore, the Washington Post and the New York Times, about Joe Biden's gaffes, they call them. It's like, it's not a gaffe, okay? It's, I mean, I guess it's a gaffe, but when you keep repeating that your son died in Iraq, that's not a gaffe. It's like, a gaffe would be if maybe you said Iran and you meant Iraq, right? But when your son dies of brain cancer
in the United States,
years after Iraq, and you keep saying he dies, that's not Iraq. That's cross-wiring, right? And now maybe, you know, like we were saying the other day with Fetterman, you know, his condition, I mean, knowing what's going on and being able to, you know, pick up an argument or a conversation and understand it and respond intelligently, if that were a requirement for being in the Senate or any political office.
Well, everybody knows it. I think Dr. Phil said, no, you wouldn't let Oz be the pilot of your plane.
There you go.
But could he be the pilot of the United States through the Senate? Oh, yeah, there's no problem there. I mean,
There's some truth to that. But let's go ahead and say that's the truth then, right? If you want to say, look,
would you leave your dog over at Fetterman's? No, you wouldn't.
But would you trust his, you know, 23-year-old staff of interns to read a bill and pass what works for the progressive agenda? Yes, you would do that. So, I mean, that's talk about the truth, right? Don't try to tell us that Fetterman's fine. But if you were to try to tell us that it doesn't really matter, okay, that I could understand, right? You want to read some of the comments?
Donna says, if I had a hammer.
Oh, yeah. Jacob says, the Pelosi deal is not fishy. DePape, I guess that's how you pronounce it, was invited onto the property and was a guest. That's why no one's making a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe DePape was a paid guest, which would be more embarrassing. Yeah, you know, and again, they leave all of these details out. You know, and then they want to criticize and ban and censor us for asking the questions. That's a scary thing. I think it's going to be, if Elon Musk continues on the road that he's going on, in spite of who his control panel is, I think that there will be more freedom and less censorship. And I think that's going to make it harder for the journalists, I use the term loose anymore, to cover things up or to ignore things. If you have all of them banning the Hunter Biden laptop story,
right, then it's pretty effective.
But if you have only some at a certain point, you know, if you're the Washington Post, I mean, somebody's going to say, why are we not covering this too? That's, now, they may lie about it, but.
Jacob saying, did Pepe have a criminal record? Well, they won't tell us. They've locked it up. Why is that? You know, the San Francisco police, they will not be going to tell you. Well, why won't you tell us? I mean, it's just a joke. The whole thing's a joke.
You can't really lock up a criminal. Well, I guess you could. But,
you can just refuse to close it.
I mean, there are lots of weird things, even about the websites. I mean, and you notice they're not talking about that anymore. Initially, they were talking about he was a MAGA person, right?
Yeah, where's Nancy?
Reminiscent
of January 6th.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
and
right.
Hyping that. They backed way off on that now. And there appear to be a lot of questions about these websites that were suddenly discovered after the attack. Things like, number one, they were fairly, some of them are complicated. And they're like, how could he really have done from the bus? Right. And you couldn't do it from like a public library. And other things we're noticing that like there hadn't been any posts since 2007. And all of a sudden, boom, right at the attack, there's this whole flurry of articles. And then they were saying the articles were posted posted in such a way to make it look as if this person was writing posts, mm-hmm. but they couldn't have been because they were coming in instance on top of each other, right? So somebody was loading it. Now, is it possible that he was loading it? Absolutely. But I find it suspicious they backed off of that. And now they're just covering it under, well, the MAGA people created this political violence thing, which is what Biden's going to talk about today. And again, that's not working. We'll get into this with Brian Junda. People are like, excuse me, whatever. I don't really care about that. What I care about is, you know, the transgender movement at my school and in my, you know, doctor's office. I care about the economy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody brings up if all DePepe has to say is that he knows that Nancy's husband's a Trump supporter. So it's perfectly legal if he kills him. No problem there.
There wouldn't be any problem. There would be. Back to the door thing. There's something, just release a tape, right? On the one hand, and again, I've read a lot of these warrants. The FBI wording on that was fishy. The FBI agent in her affidavit said that the door was open. Well, by whom, right? That's a pretty passive statement. The door was open. Then later on, they go on to quote DePepe as saying Pelosi opened it. But even there, but then the detectives or the police officers' initial words were they saw them inside the threshold, right? They were standing at the door and they saw them inside and said, drop the hammer. And so Pelosi dropped the hammer and then DePepe popped him with it or attacked him with it.
Pepe de Pape.
But what doesn't make sense to me about this is let's say that number one, so first of all, you got this intruder who's like very polite and he says, I need to go to the bathroom to make a 911 call. And he says, okay, cool. And then he does that. And then, you know, the police ring the doorbell and say, police. And Pelosi says, I need to get that. And DePepe says, okay. And then Pelosi, rather than running in behind the police and saying, save me, goes back into the room to wrestle with DePepe. Now that's possible. It's possible maybe they were all standing closer than what we might think. But on the other hand, just tell us, right? Why does the FBI say stuff like the door was opened, right? I mean, they know who opened the door. And the fact that they are waffling on that and they're not releasing the video tells me at least that, well, I mean, it's hard for them to tell me, you know, don't ask any questions about it, right? It's like, well,
we all love call. Oh, it's just a great guy.
Yeah, exactly. And also on top of that, it's like, this is the level of security that the Capitol Hill police are providing. I mean, even if all of this is true, it's like Leo was saying, they were playing poker or something like that. So the Capitol Hill police, why are you having monitors?
Let's get some monitors. 24/7
on people if nobody's bothering to look at them, right? It's kind of like, that seems to be a crucial part of it. And not only that, they notice like somebody goes, oh, hey, Bill, look, there's a bunch of police lights in front of Pelosi's house.
It's David DePepe hitting our man, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so again, you know, Charlene, we do have to stick together and say, no, you know, go. That's a legitimate question. That's a legitimate question. And give us the answer. Or if you're not going to give us the answer, then you can't criticize us for asking the question. So you want to switch? I see Brian Junedep. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. How are you? Good. We're talking Excellent. About censorship. I bet you're excited about Joe Biden's speech tonight. Threat to democracy.
That's right. I have
our democracy.
I have every alarm in my house set so I don't miss it.
Let me ask you this, because I want to get into your column, your great column, An American Thinker, about the red wave. But today, I think all the Democrat strategists are positioning themselves to say, oh, I was right. Because they're all saying, oh, yeah, we need to quit focusing on abortion and January 6th. And we need to talk about the economy.
A little too late,
I think, don't you?
Yes, I agree. The Democrats think that the majority of the country is interested in global warming, January 6th.
Threat to our democracy.
Abortion, our democracy. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's not. Rasmussen did a survey and looking at some of these issues and found that in reality, as James Carville said, it's the economy, stupid.
Right.
People are interested in the economy. They're seeing their grocery bills basically double, gas prices doubling. People don't have money. And then hearing the news about we're going to run out of diesel in 3 weeks and then... You know,
that's going to be fine.
How's that going to work with grocery shelves?
Right.
Who's going to fill the grocery? Anything.
Right.
Mail won't get delivered. You won't get packages. Nothing. Everything grinds to a halt.
Right.
So people are concerned about that.
It's a holiday. It's a holiday for all of us. It's a diesel holiday.
Festivus.
We don't celebrate that. It's the holiday season coming up, so.
Well, here's my thing is,
you know, it's going to be Festivus. Chuck, it's going to be Festivus. We can air our grievances.
Festivus, yes. That's right.
That's what we're doing next Tuesday.
Yeah. I was saying, you know, you and Chuck, and neither one of you are Pollyannas at all. And both of you have come to the same conclusion that we'll talk about Colorado later because that's depressing. But a red wave, what do you see and what's your prediction here?
Well, I think the Republicans will take the House and the Senate. It's, you know, they're not going to have a 65 vote majority in the Senate, but they have two or three seats. That's fine. That basically stops Biden. Problem is, and what I've been hearing, is that Biden is going to issue a bunch of executive orders after the election. It's going to be, you know, Stalin on steroids, and he's going to just decree this, decree that. And then it's a matter of fighting it. It's got to work its way through the courts. And hopefully Congress, they don't convene till mid-January. Hopefully they can put a stop to it. But at least if there's a Republican House and Senate, can stop some of the confirmations.
Right.
I hope, you know, you're going to get your Mitt Romney types that are going to, you know, vote for far left judges and find a good reason to vote for their confirmation. But at least there's, we're putting the brakes on, and you're going to have investigatory capability. You're going to have House and Senate committees that are under Republican control that can finally start looking into COVID and censorship and big tech collaborating with the government and Hunter Biden, and all this stuff that can be finally brought to light without being censored or shut up like it's been.
Well, the trouble is you have no enforcement mechanism. I mean, when Eric Holder wouldn't turn over any information he had on his gun running episodes from Texas, it just died. Great. You know, you can try to enforce it, but you can't.
It's at least a start. You're right. Congress doesn't have, you know, they can subpoena, but they can't indict
unless, of course, it's a...
Yeah, they'll tell Merrick Garland recommend indictment, and Merrick Garland will, you know, laugh at them.
Well, you know, one thing, though, and I think I'm right here. So, like, Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Georgia... And Georgia, I mean, some of the candidates there are the more MAGA candidates. One of the things, besides just the Republicans taking over, that I find particularly hopeful is the kind of Republican that's taking over.
Yes, you've got people like Carrie Lake that are and woman running for governor in Michigan, and then Lee Zeldin in New York, and you've got some good MAGA type candidates, and unfortunately, in Colorado, we've got one that's going to campaign against Donald Trump, but that's maybe for another discussion.
Yeah. We can get to that in a second.
Well, it has been strange. I mean, if you look at the polls right now, all the different polls, it's very much of a toss-up in the Senate. All the polls are within 1 or 2 points or sometimes 3 points. Although this time, unlike times in the past, all the polling organizations in the past or the aggregators have been Democrats. Things like Cook's Political Report, Sabato's Crystal Ball, 538. And now, however, Real Clear Politics has sort of decided it's going to go out on its own, and it's predicting the Republicans will win all of these close races. Because that's what he's saying. What they're saying is that the polls are automatically judged to be somewhat preferential to Democrats. They oversample.
I've written about that in past elections where they oversample Democrats by 6, 8, 10 points, and then of course, you know, so the Democrats up by 6 points and they're oversampled by 10. That means the Republican could be up by 4 points, and then they get the big surprise, and then they're, you know, oh, what happened? They're using polls to sway or affect public opinion rather than reflect it. That's the big difference. Polls should be a snapshot in time reflecting opinion at that moment among the sample that were polled. But they're using polls to depress Republican turnout and say, you know, oh, the Democrats going to win. It's hopeless. So if it's a rainy day next Tuesday and you're a Republican and it's too much trouble to go to the polls, then you don't bother. Or you haven't filled out your ballot and you just say the heck with it.
But, you know, one of the things I find hopeful is, again, when you look at sort of the bigger picture, because what you do have are some of these polls that show the Republicans up. And again, I agree with you, polls can be. But then you show other polls. I was reading one that I thought was really interesting today, with suburban white women have gone, you know, I mean, they're now a way leaning Republican. I saw a picture, and I think it explains why, somebody had tweeted, it was a meme. So they show white suburban moms, you know, before COVID and transgenderism, and it was a picture of Olivia Newton-John in Greece, right? And then it says white suburban moms after COVID and transgenderism in the schools. And they showed a picture of Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, you know, where she's all buffed up and she's got a machine gun and sunglasses on, you know. And I think, but you see polls like that. You see polls like in the African-American community or Hispanic community are now leaning Republican. That tends to make me think all the polls are kind of, even though they're polling different things to a certain extent, are trending the same way, I think.
Well, it's interesting. In 538, which purports to be the most analytic of all the analytics, it's been slowly, beginning of the year, they showed the Republicans would maybe take the Senate or into the summer. Then all of a sudden it went back. And until most recently, it just showed dead even. But it keeps on moving, even though the polls haven't changed. And so it's going, oh, okay, the Republicans now have 55% chance of taking the Senate. And it's all BS. They're just going, uh-oh, it's getting closer. We better be more honest
as we get closer to the election. They're hedging their bets so they don't look horrible if it's a Republican blowout.
Right.
Say, oh, well, we gave him a 55% chance, so we predicted it. Well,
yeah.
Big deal. That's like saying, you know, the sun will probably be out tomorrow. Well, odds are it will at some point.
What do you think is, I mean, I know what I think is driving it, but what do you think is driving the shift in the country? I mean, Americans aren't buying apparently the threat to democracy. They're not buying that their reproductive rights are going to be destroyed forever. They're not, and whatever else the Democrats say, oh, that the economy, inflation is just temporary. I mean, what's fueling, do you think, the red wave?
It's the economy, it's crime, it's education, it's foreign entanglements. I think those are the big issues. The economy is not only are we, you know, yeah, we had a positive GDP last quarter, but so
well, that was all because of petroleum exports.
Yeah,
imports and exports and all that. It's not, and they're predicting it's going to be a lot worse next quarter. So
yeah,
we're in a recession. So they can parse words on definitions, but we are. Inflation is 8% official government index. If we calculated it the way we did when Jimmy Carter was president, inflation would be close to 20%. You know, they a lot of things they take out of the calculation, so it's not reflective. But for the average consumer, it's filling their car with gasoline, it's energy bills, it's grocery bills, it's everything costs more. You know, you get a dozen eggs, and it used to be a couple dollars. Now it's $6-7, and it adds up. You just pick a few items up at the grocery store, and it's a $50-60 bill. It's
used to
get that if you shopped at Whole Foods and picked up a couple.
Right,
items.
And
now it's King Super that you get that, and that's you know, they don't have money.
You got to take a loan out if you go to Whole Foods.
Kind of Bertolini, I think that's how you say it, frozen pasta, right? And I used to get it, and it'd be maybe six bucks when you get it on with your little King Supers card discount. It was 10 bucks the other day. I'm like, what? You know, and then you got the same thing. The little Starbucks K-Pods are like.
You shouldn't be buying those.
The double. Anyway.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, it appears that all these seats that were lean Democrat or likely Democrat and blue states like Connecticut and Maine and elsewhere, and the governor of New York, which is a blue state, is looking like it may be a Republican, and everywhere else, the only place the only state in the whole country in which it seems to have made zero difference is our wonderful state of Colorado. Nobody thinks anything is changing in Colorado.
I would agree. Along those lines, the DNC is pouring money into districts that Biden won by double digits.
Right.
So, you know, they, again, follow the money and see where they're pouring their money to see what they're nervous about.
Right.
Obviously, they're nervous. You know, they have internal polling, which is far more accurate than Nate Silver and his little outfit. So, they are nervous. But Colorado, yes, Colorado, I don't know. We have a tendency, at least on the Republican side, to shoot ourselves in the foot and not unify around a candidate. You have the Libertarian that's going to endorse Polis or something, and that's nuts. Why would that happen? In Arizona, it's not happening. We nominate people that are going to end up splitting the vote and you know, holding out on principle. Well, you know, principle's fine, but if you don't have control of the Senate, your principles are nothing more than, you know, blog posts and Twitter posts. You can't.
Well, I guess I'm pretty close to the Republican Party. What the Republican Party does is they spend a small fortune to make sure no grassroots MAGA candidates got anywhere on the ballot up and down the state. And then they come to you and say, come on. Vote for Joe O'Day. And you have Dick Wadhams going, I'll never vote for any grassroots candidate. We'll never give any money to grassroots candidates.
Well, then they get losing candidates. And they history bears it out. You look at the past Republican gubernatorial candidates from Dan Mays and Bob Beaupre, and you know, these people just Walker Stapleton. Yeah. They're not good candidates. And a state of 5.5-6 million people, you could do better than that.
Yes.
And then the Republican candidate saying something stupid like, oh, you know, I'm going to campaign against Donald Trump. Well, you know, Donald Trump got 80 plus million votes.
Yeah.
and you're crapping on your base, really, by doing that. You might sway a dozen independents, but you're going to, you know, thousands of MAGA supporters are going to say, forget this guy.
Well, the gubernatorial, Lee Zeldin, didn't say in New York, I'm going to campaign against Trump, and neither did the Oregon woman running, and you know.
Yeah, Carrie, why do we get the one idiot? None of them do that. That's dumb.
Yes.
Well, it's the one incredibly dumb candidate who doesn't.
And it's a totally unforced error because Trump is not on the ballot.
Right.
And if asked about Trump, just say he's a private citizen. He's not on the ballot. He's not running for anything. I'm here to help Colorado deal with homelessness, crime, inflation, sanctuary city. Most kids can't read or write, blah, 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 fentanyl, you name it. Right. There are a lot of issues. Donald Trump is not one of them.
No. Well, and just to cap, I mean, and that to me, what really offended me about that is that wasn't even in response to a question, right? He just kind of blurted that out in the middle of an answer. So it was clearly calculated. And I agree. I don't think he's going to pay for it, but you're right. I mean, hopefully, and we'll have to do a whole show about Colorado, but let me ask you this. The one thing that I want to get your take on it. Cause again, you and Chuck I tend to be optimistic. Because Biden, I think you're right. He had one of his first executive orders will be like to get rid of Congress or something. But do you think, I agree with you that it's better than having the Democrats in control. How much of a difference? Because I worry that the deep state is so entrenched there, right? That when once, you know, push comes to shove, there won't be investigations. There won't be holding people accountable. Or are you optimistic on that front too?
Well, I think there will be. There'll be a lot of resistance. The media won't cover it. It really depends on who's going to be speaker, if it's Kevin McCarthy, and if he's going to grow a spine and do these things. Paul Ryan did nothing. Paul Ryan sabotaged Trump. He wouldn't give him money for the wall. He, you know, wouldn't do anything. It was a waste of 2 years because Republicans controlled Congress and the White House and accomplished really quite minimal stuff. They had a tax cut and that sort of thing, but they could have done a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, you know, looking ahead to 2024, I think there is continued reason to be optimistic because the Biden administration, again, they're not stupid people. They know what they could do to fix the economy, and they won't, right? And a lot of it has to do with their energy policies. And same thing, they know what to do to fix a crime problem, and they won't. They know what to do to fix a homeless problem, and they won't. They know what to do to fix the educational issues that are upsetting parents, and they won't do that. And so I think things are just going to get, no matter who's in charge of Congress, but with the Biden administration and the Democrats still in control there, I think things are going to continue to get worse, not better. And that, you know, a Republican, it's going to be a really good year for a Republican in 2024.
Well, it's your show, but I'll ask you a question. So just given what you've said, they know how to fix it. These are not ignorant people. They're choosing deliberately not to. So why is that?
Great reset. The new liberal world.
Right. They don't want to. This is not incompetence. you know, maybe the AOC types don't know anything, but, you know, Schumer, Pelosi, these are not unintelligent people. They've been around long enough that they know how the economy works and what works and what doesn't. This is all very deliberate. That's the only explanation that makes any sense. You can't blame it on incompetence. Biden maybe, but I don't think Biden's making any decisions.
No.
But the people around him, they're not stupid. These are people that have been in government for decades.
Right. Well, and I think
It's Great Reset or whatever you want to call it. It's destroy America and replace it with something else. The American experiment is in their ideology. It's racist. It's flawed. It's unfair. And they want their own system. And that's the Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, Great Reset, it's basically communism, where you have a elite ruling class and then you have everybody else. You're not going to own anything, and you're going to like it, as Klaus Schwab would say.
Right.
Yeah, you look over in England or Great Britain. I mean, my God, 12 years of conservative rule in which they've won huge majorities by promising immigration reform, finishing Brexit, and then every person who gets in there won't do it. And Truss got in there and actually did propose something, and the deep state or financial state just squashed her. And now we got Sunak, who couldn't be more of a Klaus Schwab. You know, he's luckily
hard-carrying member.
Yeah, he's going to go to COP27 down in Egypt. Oh boy, I was so worried he wasn't going to make the trip, but now he will. Maybe
you've got Jacinda in New Zealand. You've got Trudeau in Canada. These are all
Macron,
Klaus Schwab disciples. They came out of that leadership program, so they're all indoctrinated. And when the Great Reset happens, they're going to be in the top 1%. It's going to be the Hunger Games, and they're going to be in the capital city, living large, and everybody else is going to be eating grass.
And bugs. Well, I think the thing that gives me hope is when you look at this election, like, people have woken up, right? I think the Democrats moved too far, too fast. And, you know, people are like, I mean, we got our electric bill. I mean, then this was for the month when we didn't really have any heating or air conditioning on, right? It was like $400. It's like, that's more than double what it was last year. I mean, and like you said, people are like, wait a minute. I don't forget the Great Recess, right? You know, I drive a Tesla, but I don't want to pay $400 for heating, but I don't drive a Tesla. But I mean, is there time still for us to fight back?
Well, you need somebody strong that's going to do it. And, I personally think the only one that has the, strength and can do that and is a force of nature is the guy with orange hair.
Yeah, I agree.
Others, I don't know. You know, Ron DeSantis is good and all that, but he's accepted a lot of corporate money. And when push comes to shove, he may bow to his paymasters. I'm not as optimistic about him. But no, I don't think they move too fast. If you think back a decade ago, the plan was 8 years of Obama and 8 years of Hillary Clinton, a 16-year plan to transform America. And then, the orange hair guy from Queens got in the way and that derailed it. So, look what a threat he is. He's a private citizen and they won't leave him alone. From the attorney.
No, they got to figure out every bullshit crime in America.
Oh, yeah.
And the court system seems to allow it. So.
Well, and I mean, that's the biggest thing that hopefully, again, Congress, I don't think, has that much control over that, although they do maybe the budgets. But I think the bigger thing
they could say, Justice Department, we're cutting your budget to zero.
I mean, right.
We're tired of you.
They can just defund these agencies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Biden can veto it, but shut down the government. It's time to take a stand. They always blink.
Right.
Say, this is incompetence. Hold hearings and make your case and say, we're disbanding the FBI. Congress created it. They can get rid of it.
Right.
Right.
Come up with a plan to distribute FBI functions to other agencies. Yes. Just say that's it. Biden resists. Well, then you don't get a budget. You don't get anything.
Yeah.
So
until
you go along with this, don't even talk to us, because nothing's going to happen.
One, we can only hope, because I think that's the scariest thing to me is the weaponization of the criminal, the justice system, right?
And it's horrible. Yeah. You look at the treatment and, you know, you look at how the Pelosi case is being handled, and it's hush hush, and the feds take it over and keep the police out of it, and nobody can talk about it now. It's all locked up and hidden.
Right, yeah. Right. In the meantime, though, that you know, they'll do a raid on Mike Lindell, you know, and old people who
Mar-a-Lago, all the Trump people get raided and harassed, and you know, Hunter Biden still gets a pass to this day. There's special prosecutors that have really, or special counsels that have, you know, come up with nothing.
Right, right. The FBI that buries it.
Maybe the storm is coming. Maybe it's happening. But, you know, so far I'm not seeing any signs of it. And it's, you know, what's Durham doing?
He's very busy.
The great John Durham, who's never lost a case. Just lost two cases.
Yeah, right. It's not easy to lose. It's not easy to lose prosecutions in D.C., but he's managed to do it.
Yeah. So what's he doing now? It's a lot of nothing. So, you know, it's been 6 years since Spygate, and Trump got spied on, and the FISA warrants fraudulently, and you know, so far there's been no reckoning. The people involved are all, you see them on MSNBC and CNN, and they're writing books and teaching and. There's been
doing ethics course. Comey's teaching an ethics course in Virginia. good. Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, on that happy note, we gotta run now, Brian. So American thinker, and you're also in Rasmussen, right?
Yep, and the Villager, local.
And the Villager. All right. So thank you for your time. We appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next time.
Hopefully we're all smiling a week from today.
That's right.
Oh, I've got one good word for you. I played golf on Sunday with my new prescription sunglasses.
Good for you. And how many birdies you get?
Not too many of them, but I got to watch my ball go into the forest and get lost.
So when the ball landed in the water, you could see it land.
Exactly.
There's satisfaction to that.
All right. Brian, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Hey, thank you everybody on Zoom. Had a lot of great comments today. Thank you to the great guys at BBS Radio. We're going to be off on Friday, but Karen Cataline,
our friend and colleague,
is great. I said, what are you going to talk about? And she said, just to let you guys know that we're going to be gone and she's going to play. She said, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So I don't know how much that means, but check it with her on Friday. Remember, all the shows at chuckandjulie.com. We will see you later. Boy, next week is a big one. We'll see you on Monday, and Karen will be here Friday.
Take care.